Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And we're going to start off today with, talking about a bit of history and some sad news from last week. But first, I just want to say history is really big with both me and Syl, the history of the team. And it's important for coaches and players to honor the past. We feel very strongly about that. And we want to pay our respects to former Leaf captain George Armstrong, who passed away at the age of 90 last Sunday, and we send our condolences to his family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Armstrong was the Leafs captain for 12 seasons, which is the most of any captain that has had the privilege of wearing the jersey. He holds the franchise record for most games at 1,187. He scored the goal to clinch our last Stanley Cup win in 1967, which was also the last goal scored in the original six era. He is a member of Legends Row and is 12th on the list of the top 100 greatest Maple Leafs of all time.
Yeah, so those are some pretty big accomplishments and steps to follow there. Anyhow, Sheldon Keefe in the post-game interview last week, I thought... said it great. He basically, the quote, I have it here from Sheldon Keefe in his post-game address. He said when he addressed the team, they talked about how efforts back in the 60s in particular are the reason why Leafs Nation is as strong as it is. That's why generations of families grow up as fans. We have a role to play to continue building upon that. And for me, that was a powerful message. I wrote awesome in Twitter, if anybody follows us, because that's based in capital letters. It was awesome. It's something like, it's just a reminder to these players about our long history and what they're playing for. And I guess it has so much meaning, I guess, all our history, like I just don't find that we celebrated enough. And I think it's great too how they have the patches now on the jersey. I think they're probably gonna have it the rest of the season, I think, with the number 10 and the and I think there's like a little Stanley Cup logo on there. But yeah, I just think like for players that are like obviously we know like Marner, Hyman, Thornton, Simmons, they're all from here. They know about our past. And obviously Austin Matthews, he's been here several seasons. He knows too. I mean, when he won the Calder Trophy, I remember him saying, like, I think he said it anyways. He mentioned Leafs Nation. I know that. He said, like, Leafs Nation, this is for you. And I'm like, okay, yes. He's only like, whatever, 20 years old and he already gets it, right? Now he's 23. So, So I just think those types of, like that. That type of motive, that should give them extra motivation, definitely.
And as you're reading that, like that definitely gave me a little bit of chills because it is a foundation that they are, that this current team has the privilege of building on. That's something that newer teams, they don't have that advantage, you know? So
yeah.
they are very fortunate to have the backing that they do, and it should never be taken for granted, which I think we have seen in, you know, the not so recent past that has happened at times. It's very, very important and something very, very special. And of course, you know, I think the fact that Armstrong was part of the fold for right up until pretty much his passing, and they've kept him there, that's also something unique and special. And so he's being remembered now, but posthumously, but he has been a very strong part of this organization for decades. So anyway, so on that note, let's get into the games and what we're going to talk about in this episode. So today we have for you, hopefully what will be a regular segment going forward, called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We're also going to talk about what's up and coming for the Blue and White in the next 2-week segment. And then we also have an update for you on our contest winner, so stay tuned for that. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
So The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. This is going to be fun. So actually, we got a lot of good, but at least I had a few things to talk about, but we'd be here all night if we do that. So I picked for my good for the last couple of weeks is the decor. And it's funny because I had a lot of other options, like I just said, but I thought the decor, only because it's been, I don't even remember when, maybe since 93, 94, since we've actually had, even though back then, like, it wasn't big name defensemen that we had, but it was a solid decor. And I mean, we had McCabe and Caverly, I guess, during the Sundin era there. But we've never had, in the last several years, we haven't had anything like a solid decor.
Like not a full core.
Yes.
Like maybe we've had like a pair.
Yeah.
But not like
not as a group.
Yes.
As a group. Yeah.
And we haven't had it. Somewhat a little bit interchangeable too, you know, like there's a little bit of rotation happening. And anyway, go on.
So
let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So I'm going to basically just go through the pairings or the way they are now, because it's rounding into form. Let's just say that. I mean, I don't want to go over the top or anything to say they're fantastic, obviously, but it's rounding into form. So with the top pairing, let's say with Riley and Brody, it was so Riley, I think it's funny. Like last night, first of all, I guess we're coming at you on the Sunday after the Edmonton, the last Edmonton game. But Riley last night maybe wasn't as great. I think it was catching up to the whole team, the road trip. But yeah, he was just, to me, for all the games, he was flying like out there. He was end to end, and Brody was, you didn't even notice him half the time, like to say
Which,
that they're
that's
learning
what we got,
that
that's what we yes. got him for, is it not? That's yeah. this what that's his yeah. role. So
yeah, they're learning that trust. I mean, if a couple of times, maybe more than a couple of times, I think Riley was below the goal line on the offensive zone. He was like right down there on the, and then all of a sudden the other team was going the other way and it was like a 2-on-1 or like an odd man rush 3-on-2. But he flew back. Like you could just see the guy has, like, he's feeling so much better comparison to last season when he was injured. Like you can just see how he's different that way. But he has that trust with Brody, and Brody's being the defender back there. He's been making the plays to, or Freddie has been making the spectacular saves in those few cases. But I don't know. I just think that chemistry between them, they're really getting comfortable with each other. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything about those two? Because I'm going to...
No, keep on going.
No, you're good?
Okay, I'm good. So, I agree.
Next, Muzzin and Hull. I mean, I don't know. Like, with them, they have the benefit. Like, they played last season together. So, I just think... True. Like, they're just building on top of what they already had. But Justin Hull, I mean, everybody obviously is, like, happy birthday, by the way, to Justin Hull. Yesterday was his birthday on the 30th of January. But there was one play, I think it was versus one of the Calgary games, where I saw him. He was in the defensive zone. He had his head up. And he was looking to make that outlet pass, but he just looked so confident in the way he was doing it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, he's at another level now, let's say, to me, like, true, of confidence. Because last year I thought, like, obviously Muzzin makes a difference with him. He's the driver of that pairing, obviously. But I just think that he's picked up from Muzzin a lot, and he's taken it into his game to become more confident. So I don't know. I'm totally fine with that pairing. Like, I don't think, I remember to start, they thought maybe they'd put Brody with Muzzin or something like that. Like, I don't think, well, they didn't even try that yet, but I don't think they should.
No, based on, I don't think they will. Like, I totally agree. It's kind of like, you know, I'm like sitting here listening to you talk about him, and I have this like proud mama feeling, you know, about how, you know, he's come such a long way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the fact that, okay, last year sort of gave him the sense, I think, you know, given how we started last year, Babcock was still the coach. He still probably didn't really feel like he was going to be a game in, game out player. So he still was very fresh on the sitting in the press box for 72 games or whatever it was, and not knowing whether he was ever going to come out. And I think now he has a really good relationship with management and the coaching staff, obviously, and his partner, who has allowed him to really bloom as a player, because he knows he's not going anywhere now. And he had the second part of last year to work out any possible, you know, mistakes, get comfortable with his game, figure out his limitations, and really get into his role. And now he's confident in what he can do. So, great to see.
One thing it does do, though, it does possibly cause some extra headache for Kyle Dubas because of the upcoming the Seattle draft and the protection list. So that's going to be interesting. But that's for another day. We're enjoying what we have now.
Exactly.
And, and then, so that was Muzzin and Hull. And then we got the third pairing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bogosian must have heard us, because... even though, obviously, I kept saying he was slow in our last episode, but maybe he's still slow, but I did not notice him, I actually saw him hitting people. And that Yamamoto guy, I think he was like on Edmonton, I think he got pounded a few times by Bogosian going into our zone. But, and I saw him in front of the net trying to clear people out from Freddie's crease. And I don't know, he seems to be a bit, he needed the few games, I guess, to just get going and get, and I think it's hard too for him, because now that's not really a third pairing, because it's been alternating between Lettinen and Dermott. Mm-hmm. So it looks as though, which I'm kind of surprised, like Bogosian, I mean, he's doing well, but I didn't think at the beginning of the year that he was going to be the constant. I thought it was going to be Dermott basically as the constant, but obviously Keefe is going with Bogosian, and knock on wood, there's no injuries anymore. But I don't know. So he's been playing good, but Lettinen, I don't know. It seems like they finally got him in. He's only played the four games, and they finally got him in, because the couple of times, I guess, Keefe, for those first two games against Edmonton that were here, he was doing that 11 forward, 7 defenseman combination thing. And I don't know. That just, you can't get into, most defensemen say you can't get into the flow of a game when you have that seven defenseman thing, which I think was the case. You couldn't really see what he had to do. So then he played two full games, but then Keefe wouldn't play him in the third period at all. Mm-hmm. On that one game, I think it was the first game versus Edmonton. And I was like, okay. And then Keefe said last night after this last game in Edmonton, he said he still didn't look right, like that Lehtinen mm-hmm. still didn't look comfortable, and that they hope to have enough tape now to help him learn and take steps forward. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, now really isn't the time to be learning, mm-hmm. right? Like you're here now in the NHL, you played in the KHL, and I don't know, like we don't really have time for a person to learn. Whereas Dermott, he's played 8 games and he's played between 9 and 14 minutes, depending on the game, between 9 and mm-hmm. 14 minutes a game. He's been okay. I mean, I didn't see any major issues when he did play. He was a little bit more, maybe he's kind of a little bit more all over the place. And that's just because, I think that's his style, I guess, too. He's a fast skater, so he's a little bit more offensive, too, which Lehtinen is as well. But I'm not seeing that from Lehtinen, except for when he's on the power play. So I don't know. I'm having a difficult time there. And then there's Sandin, Rasmus Sandin, who I feel sorry for because he's on the stay ready squad or the taxi squad, and he hasn't had the opportunity at all. But yeah, they seem so invested in Lehtinen to try and get him, like to try and get him in as the pairing with Bogosian. But I don't know. I'm not seeing it right now. Anyways, I'm preferring Dermott, let's just say. And if they want to try somebody else, I would say try Sandin for a while. But then, in the back of my mind, I was reminded too that this Lehtinen, he has in his contract, if he's not playing, he has an out to go back to the KHL.
Yes, that's why they're giving him more time. So the whole thing is that there is a balance that they need to create between winning, which is the urgency now, obviously, 56 game season, and the asset. And how do you develop that asset? And that is actually a struggle probably for every team this year, because where do they normally develop assets? In the AHL. Yeah. They're not playing yeah. right now. So it's very difficult with the contract issues that surround a player, because normally he would be down there, you know, playing yeah. more, right? But so you've got the whole thing where you've got to develop your asset and realize that, you know, keep a half a mind or maybe a quarter of a mind to, you know, seasons down the road and, you know, what you can potentially get out of this player and winning now. So I think it's, I don't envy them, because there's like, it's a chess match this year for yeah, sure. Yeah. When you are kind of figuring out, you know, who you're going to put on the ice every day, because there's more than just the game at hand and the season at hand to consider this year. There is a lot of factors and things.
And they can't, there's no way you cannot play somebody in the third, like a D-man in the third period. You got to have your full six, like mm-hmm. rotating all the way throughout the game. Yes, the third pairing is going to have less minutes, but you still have to play them on the regular shift. Otherwise the other guys, by the time playoffs come around, they're going to be dead tired. Like they're already playing against the, like, obviously, like Muzzin and Hall playing against mm-hmm. the other team's best players or top lines. And
well, maybe part of it was that they knew they had this 4 games off this week. So there's a little bit of time for them to kind of, you know, recoup a little bit. But back to Bogosian, back to more of the good. in this part. I actually watched him in ISO a little bit last night, and I think maybe the first few games was a little bit of jitters and nerves and acclimating, but now he seems to kind of settled into his game, and he's doing the things he's supposed to do, and his positioning is great.
He's good on the penalty kill too.
He's
doing good there. So as a whole, though, until we get that last pairing solidified, it's still working, thankfully, because we came out of this road trip with 7 out of possible 8 points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, the only thing would be 8 out of 8. So, yeah. I don't think, you know, a lot of whining going on still, but then that's Leafs Nation. I guess we like to whine, but we do have to remember, and we're in first place overall too, which I was shocked.
Are we still in first? Well, I don't know. I didn't
last
this
night
morning.
Before I went to bed, we were. So.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, because the Habs lost. I know that. And then
first overall in the league.
No, I know. And
yeah,
but the Habs would be up there as well. And
they're in third place. So and then Washington and is second.
We don't really know what's going on.
Still
the
early
border.
Yeah,
we don't know what's going on in the south.
So
of the
I saw
border,
Washington so. There. I'm like, oh yeah, there's other teams in this league.
Yeah. All right. So let's get on to your good.
Yeah. So my good was the bottom six and how they're using the stay ready squad, as they like to call it, to maybe bolster the back end of our forward grouping. And I was like super impressed first of all, I think if you're looking at the games we just finished in this last 2 week segment, Simmons, wow, what a highlight. The Wayne train. He's been great at doing exactly, you know, what we would want from him. So really, really like to see that. And I really like the additions and the way they've rotated using players like Boyd, Brooks, and Anderson and how they contributed and the way they've been kind of moving people in and out and finding the combinations. I think they're hitting on some good things there and also are going to save us some coin going down the road because they're saving money with that whole salary cap situation.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree with Wayne Simmons. I mean, he got his 500th point versus Calgary in the first game versus Calgary on that Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. 100th power play goal, which, I mean, he's a net front presence, which we've never had in God knows how long. I don't know when.
Oh, yeah.
And the only, I guess, the like you were mentioning Boyd and Anderson, the Joey Anderson. And so he got his first NHL goal, Travis Boyd. He was like an immediate impact. The only guy that, it was funny, he played well, I think it was the first game in Edmonton, but last night he wasn't that great, was Engvall. I don't know, that guy, I don't understand him. He played really well in that first game that he got in. Maybe it was against Calgary, but I don't know. Then last night, I thought he didn't look as good anyways. And he, I don't know. Anyways,
I think it's a consistency.
Playing with fire, I think, with Keefe, because I think Keefe knows that he can be better and more consistent, I guess.
It's a consistency issue with him.
Yeah.
It's like similar to Willie. I just can't see them. I have yet to see either of those players put two games together in a row where they're, you know, really playing up to their level. So they seem to put in a good effort and then they back off. But you know what? It takes all different kinds of people to make up the world. And some people can't put it together 2 days in a row. So maybe that's just the way they are. And it's always going to be an effort to get that, like an effort on the coaching side to pull that out of them more consistently, because some people don't have that driver in them where they can be, you know, the same every day, like JT, for example. Tavares, like he's, you know what you're going to get from him like every night. Now, the other thing with the bottom six too is like, you know, Spezza Yeah. I like the way they're using him. I mean, I know that it'd be nice for him to play every single game. But even when he's in, if he's just so great on the face-offs is the thing, is that you want that in your lineup every night. I think if you can, because he's been incredible.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, as another good with Spezza, mm-hmm. the way he sat out for the game. But I mean, I think he has that relationship with the organization too, mm-hmm. and with Keefe, obviously, to know as to how they're going to be using him. And I mean, the next game he comes back and he has a goal and an assist. So, I mean,
I know,
right? After being out the game before. So, I thought that, like, he's just doing what he needs to do in order to be in the lineup. And and then he's good on the face-offs, especially and we need that guy, especially even on like the penalty kill, like to be able to have somebody like take the draw and win the draw, like Tyler Bozak used to be our specialty mm-hmm. in that, when we don't have that. So, I mean, Tyler Bozak was a little bit younger, let's say, than what Spezza is at the time, but yeah, so I think that's really good. So, I mean, it's still, we're finally getting, I guess, the contributions from the third and fourth lines, which is good. But we'll hopefully have that continue. That's the thing. Yes. That's right. So anyways, it's just the start. So do you have anything else with that, with the bottom six?
No.
Or you want to go on to the bad?
Let's move on to the bad.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to not make this too negative. Okay. So it's just like, we just have to talk a little bit about, okay, my bad. The bad is, and it's not actually bad, but I'll explain it. It's Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah, because I saw that. I'm like, okay, this I have to hear, because anyway, go on.
So again, I tweeted it out. I said, maybe he needs to start eating more pasta than soup. That was my, because I mean, the guy is like flying out there. It's like so impressive the way he's getting in there, and he's on the PK. He's like, he had like partial breakaways, but he just doesn't finish. Mm-hmm. That's the part, he needs to finish. And now he's moved up because of the injuries, which we're going to get to eventually. But because of the injuries, now he's on the second line with JT and Nylander. He's got to produce. He's got to produce.
Okay, I agree with you there.
So that's, for me, that's, so it's bad, but it's not that, it's half bad.
Yeah. So, but I agree, except his flying down the ice, it's exciting. So I love that. And he's not finishing, but overall, like, if I have to choose between the way he's not finishing and the way Kapanen was not finishing last year, yeah, you know, he was invisible most of the time. Like, at least he's not invisible. So I will take this over that in a heartbeat. Although I saw somebody kind of played with his name to make it like Kapanen, like Mikheyev Kapanen or something like that. It was funny. So, so overall, I just think if he could get a little bit more control over his shot. Again, I do think that these guys that come from Europe that are used to playing on the big ice, I think the timing thing is a big deal, because they have less time to do what they normally are able to do there, right? So I think when you're screaming down the ice like he does, because he's so fast, and when he gets into the zone, he's used to having more time to basically, you know, with the stick back, make the shot.
Yeah.
So there's that, there's few seconds difference that of time.
Still, he's got, it's, I mean, I keep saying,
again, it's the same thing
for him. Yes. Right. Like, it's because some of his bad luck, there was one play on with Calgary. He was on a 2-on-1 with Willie, and Willie passed the puck, but it had to go over. Like, mm-hmm. he had to put the puck up or whatever to go past the defenseman, and it hopped over Mikheyev's stick.
Right.
He had a wide open net otherwise, and and I was like, oh, when is this gonna happen for him? Mm-hmm. Like, it's gotta go in eventually. But anyways, I don't know. So that's my bad. So it's actually like partial bad. So that's good in a way.
I mean, is if he can start connecting, that's going to be fabulous. But for now, like, I find him fairly exciting to watch, at least. So there's that. So for my bad, it's the still not playing the full 60. We're still seeing those lapses. You know, the fact that we are, all of our wins, like, have been like pretty much one goal games, and last night was a one goal loss, you know, but last night we didn't start on time. So, you know, it was like so that's what I mean. We're like either not starting on time, we have a bad second period, we let in some bad ones in the third. Like, you know, they're not always the same modus operandi, but somehow we are still not managing to put it together for a full 60 every night. And that's still a little frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only one that I think was a full 60 was the Winnipeg game, was the first game after after we released our other last podcast episode. But they played a full 60 there. Anderson came back and made the timely saves when he needed to be there for us. And he's definitely been with us for the whole road trip. He's been perfectly fine. But you just look at the quote even that Austin Matthews said last night. He said, like, they haven't played their best still.
No. But right? I mean, it's still, you know, even though we're like, I think about a third of the way through the season already, because it's so short, it's still super early as far as whether they're going to have it all together, especially given the fact that there's been no preseason really to get, you know, sort of established and work out kinks and stuff, but that's all happening on the fly. So all things considered, I guess it's okay, but they obviously need to realize that they need to put it together a little bit better every night if they're going to really make some noise this year. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. And okay, the ugly. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the ugly. So my ugly, it's partial ugly, let's just say, because on the one fact is that we're taking too many penalties, but that's because the refing has been garbage, basically.
Especially in Edmonton, these last two games.
In Calgary and Edmonton.
Horrific.
There were like very questionable calls. Yes, it did go on the other side as well in some cases, but actually I found it interesting, and I don't want to mention the player's name. I won't, because Syl will yell at me. We got to learn, because what I'm going to say is, a lot of the penalties, I think it was, well, it was throughout the last 2 weeks anyways, the penalties that we took, many of them were because we were stick checking and we were putting the stick into the skates of the opposing player to try and get the puck, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that player conveniently falls down. Mm-hmm. And yes, it in some cases, maybe it's tripping, like to say that it's legit, like the guy lost balance because the stick was there. But even Sheldon Keefe, I read that they're actually going to review the tape, because their strategy, I guess, to try and get the puck away from the opposing player is to actually to do that, is to go and dig for it. And but he said they're going to look at the tape at those instances to say, because he found it, obviously he found it ridiculous as well, that almost every time there was at least three or four calls where that happened, where we put our stick in to the skates.
Well, that's interesting that he said that, because it's possible that other coaching staffs are looking at that tape and thinking, oh, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
So they do this, we're going to do this, and then we can get the power play.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's smart that he's actually thinking, aha, maybe we need to rethink this and adjust, because other people are taking advantage of us. The other side, though, what you're saying, though, I 100% agree, is that we need to draw more. And what I find is, like, a perfect person who could draw more penalties, for example, is probably Mitch. You know, like, the thing is that they don't stay down when they should stay down.
Yes,
maybe they stay down when they shouldn't be staying down. So then you're right. The player that shall not be named was excellent at drawing penalties.
Like, and we do miss that. From him, but a little bit.
Well, true, but but you know, I don't know. It's sometimes that's a gift, and that's a gift that he has. And I'm not sure that anyone else could do it like he does, you know? So
No.
But we are anyways, missing that. But even back then, he's probably the only one that was good at that.
Yes, it was. He was the only one.
That's why it's so glaring now that it's not on our squad.
Yeah. But I mean, some of the calls anyways were just the refs being that was like ridiculous. Like the calls, like even the analysts on TV were like saying that. Like,
yeah, I think Ray Ferraro really let them have it one day. If we're giving the players a little bit of the benefit of the doubt for not having a preseason and all that, should we be giving the refs a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because they're still getting into it?
No. It's okay.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's my thing about the ugly anyway. So I just hope that I just hope we start drawing penalties ourselves somehow.
I agree,
the opportunity is, like, I know it's probably hard to do it. Obviously it is, because we don't seem to be doing it very often when we do, but like just fall down, like try and make it. Obviously you don't want the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
No.
Like, to say that you're
want to see flopping that's
embellishing
for sure.
Or whatever. Yeah. but it's an art, right? But anyways, yeah, so that's my ugly. What was your ugly?
Well, my ugly, again, a not so ugly, is the injuries and that we're sustaining, and the fact that it's so tight now with, you know, the fact that we have the stay ready squad. We've got the taxi squad, yes, but we don't have a lot of time, with the games that we have to be breaking in people and adjusting. There's it just can have a very large impact in this season. And one of the bad impacts obviously was Campbell going down, not having that backup when he played the perfect backup game that night against Ottawa. You know, now he's going to be out, I think, for a while.
Did he play in Ottawa or did he play? It was Calgary. I know that he played phenomenal that afternoon game against Calgary.
Calgary?
Yeah, it was. He played that one game in Calgary, the afternoon game. And he was phenomenal that game. And that's when But yeah, so now Hutchison is the backup. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, he might not be, you know, he may be okay this year, whatever, but the thing is that it's now we don't have the insurance, right? So yeah, it's just like we have three key injuries now. I guess Robertson, I don't know, you could say whether it's a key injury or not, but
Messed up our taxi squad basically situation.
Yeah, and that messed up our cap situation too, for sure.
There's a trickle down sort of. Yeah.
Exactly. So there these things have like a larger impact than in a regular given season. So I guess that's why I'm kind of highlighting that. And also there's there wasn't that much that was too ugly. I mean, let's face it. Like, it's been a pretty good little stanza of games for now. And
yes, like we said, 7 out of 8 points.
Yeah.
Not too much to be ugly about that sort of thing.
No.
But there's obviously they keep saying that there is always room to improve. So mm-hmm. I think too with Keefe's, just one thing about Keefe's comment on Hutchison, he actually said because everyone was like,
obviously. I heard this comment.
Mm-hmm. And you heard the comment about he's the only player on the roster
that played in past the second round. Yes.
He was with Colorado. Obviously, it's a different team, but
no, and he played great in those playoffs. The games he played great.
He made big saves. He had to make the big saves. I mean, mm-hmm. otherwise, how could he win he won two games, playoff games. So
right.
So
well, truthfully, you know, we haven't seen him. He hasn't played under Keefe. So
yeah.
Right.
And I think he's going to probably get in there in our next in the next couple of weeks versus Ottawa. I think Hutchison's going to go in one game at least, mm-hmm. just to get him in there. Yeah.
So obviously those few injuries are not great, but we do have the 4-day break coming up before we get back into it on Thursday. So with that, let's talk about what's coming up for the Blue and White. So as I said, a well-deserved break. Keefe has said in his presser that they're going to have 2 whole days off from the rink. And then starting Thursday, there's going to be 3 games with Vancouver and 2 with the Habs. And obviously, we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a top of the division showdown, I guess. And then a 3-game set with Ottawa. So I guess we're now getting into these longer, series, I guess, with some of the teams, which will be sort of interesting, I think.
Yeah, there's more of a pattern here. The last couple of weeks, we just had that random game versus Winnipeg. That was a 1-game show, sort of. But in this case, now we're starting to get into the sets. I don't know. Versus the Canucks, of course, they've been spiraling a little bit. But now, ever since they play Ottawa, it seems like it's only our team. Like, the Sens get up for us, obviously. All the teams get up to play the Leafs, obviously. But the Sens, they get up to play. Like, they won a game versus against us. They took a game away from us that I think it was on a Friday night. And but the Canucks, they played the Sens. And, like, it was, apparently it was outrageous. Like, they had 16 goals for. And Ottawa only scored 3 in the whole series. So that seemed to turn around the Canucks because they've been playing much better since then. And
great. Let's keep them up before we play them.
Yeah. So Pettersson is back on it, and it'll be weird to see Braden Holtby. And even though I think they're playing Demko a little bit too, they alternate the goalies. But I don't know. We're obviously the better team, I think. And we should do okay. Plus the fact that we have these 4 days off. So that'll be good. It gives Freddie some time to rest a little bit too. And because we need him to be good.
It's a good time for them to work on some things as well. Like they can actually get some good practice time in, because especially since we were on the road, it's really hard to do that. Like, you're not really able to, you know, work on much when you're away. So now we're back in our home rink and have some extra time to work on some of the things that they've noticed over this last stretch.
Couple weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we got the 2-game set with the Habs. Now, that's like the main event there, right in between. So that'll be, that's going to be awesome.
I hate that they're doing well right now. I have to say, it's just so, it just grinds
at
me.
What I hate too is like, it's for another time too, but it would be good if the fans were there, because there's just something about it with that. If the fans were there, it's just some, like, in the building, like there's an energy that is not there for that, even though the players are, obviously, they're playing it like they're real games, but I just think it's on a different level when it comes to the Habs.
I think it makes a difference for them, too. I mean, like, as human beings, you can feel that. Even if you're not, like, focused on it and you're not listening, you know, actively, you feel that. So I do think it makes a difference, for sure.
So I know, it's going to be good to see where we're at by then. And then we have the 3-game set with the Sens. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that we can, like, we obviously didn't take them very seriously to lose that 1 game. Like, we need to be on top of our game every night. It doesn't matter who it is. And they say it themselves too. So they just need to do it and show up and play, and they should sweep that series. Like, it should be easy.
Oh, should be. And do you think it makes a difference, though, that, like, we played them right out of the gate when we were kind of a little bit not 100% coordinated and together? And now it's a different team now that's playing them, I would think. That's what I'm hoping. I am hoping to see that whatever they've done over the last 2 weeks has changed their approach, and they're going to show up differently than they did those first 2.
Well, I mean, if the Canucks can beat them 16-3 in goals, that should be in.
I can't even imagine what it should be. I mean, we better, like, the one thing we haven't really talked about much is our power play, like, how ridiculous it is. So that team, Ottawa, I would think that they should try not to take any penalties against us if they want to survive, because that would just be Yeah, yeah. No, like, yeah, like you're saying, it should be a ridiculous onslaught.
Yeah.
Of goals.
Yeah, no, it should. It should. It should be no excuse for that. Yeah, so anyways, it's exciting. I like the Canadian division anyways. I'm good with it, even though I'm not. I am going to force myself, though, to watch like something from south of the border. I'm going to force myself to watch a game soon because I'm thinking this is, I got to see
what the level is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right, cause like, that's what I worry about. That's what I worry about. I still have, like, I think I mentioned it on one of our first episodes this year that is a concern that you get into this kind of mode within your division and there's a level there. You know what the top level is and you know what the bottom level is. But until you're playing the odd game outside of your division, you really, you don't know how you stack up. And there's going to be no feeling things out because it's going to be right into it when we finally play other divisions. So,
it's going to be another busy time now with the, with 8 games in 14 days. And, but we love it because we love watching the Leafs. And another person who loves watching the Leafs is the winner of our holiday giveaway.
Yay!
Yay! So our holiday giveaway winner is Jen Fenton. And she won a fantastic prize package from our friends at Summerfresh. And Jen shared with us her story of growing up as a Leafs fan, and we posted this on our social media. So check it out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we also wanted to share one other story that we thought was really cool.
Yeah. So Jen grew up much like us watching Leaf games on TV with her dad. A really fantastic memory she shared with us is that when she was a kid watching with her father, her dad would give them snacks during the hockey game, and he served them on a very special silver tray that was engraved with the autographs from the Leafs 1962-1963 Stanley Cup winning team. It's actually really cool that they had this special serving tray that they pulled out just on game night, and it was made out of silver, had all it's a memorabilia piece, and not everyone can say that they have that. I mean, I have a maple leaf tray, but it's made out of melamine and it's not really that special. So I thought that was super, super cool.
I thought that was fantastic, and just again celebrating the past too, and her dad transferring that to his daughter, and then now she's transferred it on to her daughter to be a member of Leafs Nation. So it all connects with what Sheldon Keefe said
100%
that we noted at the episode at the beginning of the episode. So
that foundation, and I love that her dad, it made it a special thing, an event night. And it's like, I think as Leaf fans, we are sort of lucky that, people in the States, they look forward to, Thanksgiving for football and it's an event, and the Super Bowl and it's an event. But as a Leaf fan, you kind of get that every Saturday night with Hockey Night in Canada, and you can make it that special every week. And so that's kind of how lucky we are to be Leaf fans.
I think. So once again, we want to thank our friends at Summerfresh for the great prize and partnering with us.
I think
I could get that out.
Partnering.
And we look forward to giving our listeners the chance to win again in the future. So now that we have the extra episode, it seems that, for me anyway, it seems like weeks are flying by. We hope you enjoyed this show, and if you want to find out how to support our show, please consider buying us a coffee. Visit and follow us at coffee.com. That's ko-fi.com. And every little bit helps, and for us to help us continue with the show. Because like we mentioned before, we're a two-woman organization here. We do everything. And you can make a donation using our handle, LTL1917, and you can find the link on our Buzzsprout website.
Mm-hmm. And we would also really appreciate it if you could take a bit of time to give our podcast a review or a rating on whatever app you use to listen to us. If you don't already, you can follow us on social media, as we said, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at our handle at LTL1917. And we will keep you posted on what's going on with our Leafs. So you can also email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. That's ladiestalkingleafs@gmail. To give us feedback or ideas for future shows, we, as we always say, we would love to hear from you. So one last shout out. We want to thank our healthcare workers for everything that they do. And we want everyone to stay safe and well. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Go Leafs, go.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.